Kenny Anderson joins us on Sports Byline. Fine NBA point guard for 14 seasons, and he accumulated more than 10,000 points and 5,000 assists. And he was the second overall selection by the New Jersey Nets in the draft out of Georgia Tech, and he became an All-Star in his third season in New Jersey. And almost 21 years after he first enrolled in college as a celebrated basketball phenom from New York City, Kenny Anderson graduated with honors. How much does that mean to you, Kenny? Because I know it was a promise you made to your mother.
Yeah, it was a promise I made. You know, I procrastinated so long, and too bad, you know, she wasn't here to see me receive my my BA, my bachelor's that day. It was something I always will remember. You know, I left Georgia Tech after 2 years, and I told my mother I was going to go back, and just procrastinated so long. And 2010, you know, I did it. So it was probably one of the hardest things that I ever did. You know, after 20 years out of school, going back to school, it was real difficult at times.
It must have given you an interesting perspective when you think about what you were like when you were a kid going to Georgia Tech for 2 years, and then some 20 years later going back, not a kid anymore, but watching that generation do the things that you've already done.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm 30-something years old, and, you know, I had two classes on campus, and most of it was online. You know, I'm an alumni of St. Thomas University now. Georgia Tech, St. Thomas took 40 of my credits from Georgia Tech. And it just was a surreal thing, you know. When I went up there to receive my degree on the stage, when he called my name, it was better than getting my name called the draft night 1991, going up there and accepting the New Jersey Nets hat. It was really a surreal moment for me, and one of the biggest accomplishments that I did in my life.
Let me ask another perspective question, Kenny, and that is the perspective you had of professional basketball when you came out after 2 years at Georgia Tech, and now when you think about how the game is played, the money that's involved with it, the big-time entertainment vehicle that it is today. Is it kind of mind-blowing for somebody who actually worked in that profession?
Yeah, it's not really mind-blowing, because the NBA is a billion-dollar business, and they do just a great job in marketing their brand. And marketing their players, and I got to take my hat off to some of the ambassadors now, the young ambassadors, LeBron James, Chris Paul, you know, even Dwayne Wade, Kevin Durant, was all the young stars of today. They are handling themselves so well. You know, they're carrying, you know, a big load on them, as far as, you know, being in the NBA, being the marquee guys, but they're handling themselves so well, and they're making a big difference, and it makes the NBA a lot easier to market when you have great product, not just on the basketball court, how these guys go about their craft and their lives, you know, and that's really important.
You make a very interesting point, because not everybody makes the transition into the high-powered professional sports area after just a couple of years in college. I mean, you were 20 years old. You come into the NBA, and all of a sudden there is glamour, there's lights, there's expectations, there's performance. How did you deal with that?
I was decent, and that's what I'm going through now. I'm doing my book, and the title of my book is Instructions Not Included. And, you know, I've been 3 months in my book right now, and it's due out in March. You know, me and a great writer, J.J. Staples, out of Dallas, you know, helping me with my book. So, you know, and I talk about this in my book. It's very if your foundation, if you're not grounded and you don't come from a great foundation, it's kind of like you're a work in progress. You got to learn on your own. You're getting, I'm 20 years old, coming from poverty, and 24 hours, 48 hours later, I'm a millionaire. So, it's really, you know, a tough situation to be in. You have to have a great team behind you, a great family, or come from a great foundation, you know, so that you could be successful. Not just on the basketball court, but just your lifestyle, you know, how you carry yourself and how you conduct yourself on and off the court. And it's a learning. It's a process. And when you're young, sometimes experience is the best teacher. You know, you can tell someone a million times, do this, do this, do this, do this, do it this might not listen. They might not hear you, so they have to experience it. So it's a tough transition if you're not mature, and most of the kids are not mature. So, you know, you got to just, it's a work in progress, and you learn on the job.
Who was the NBA veteran, if there was one, that put his arm around Kenny Anderson and said, hey, Rook, let me show you the way?
No, I didn't have too many. I had veterans on the team. You know, Rick Mahal was one of my good friends. You know, I came in with the Nets. He was a good veteran. But I learned on my own. I wasn't that type of guy. I led by example. I just came to practice, worked hard to practice. And I probably, you know, kept to myself. You know what I mean? And it's a big age difference also. Nowadays, with all these young guys coming in the league, you got a lot of older guys. Guys, you know, with families and kids, and some of these young guys coming in the league. So it's different priorities, different things that you like to do, they don't like to do. So it's the age factor, it comes into play with certain teams.
The thing that always blew my mind about you, Kenny, and I remember watching you in your rookie year, second year, third year, you're an all-star. You know, you get picked by the New Jersey Nets. Now, you were a legend in New York. Yeah. You're going to play your pro basketball across the river in New Jersey. It is New York as a media market. I mean, that's a lot different than getting picked by Indiana. And getting picked maybe at the end of the first round. I don't know how you dealt with that and yet became an all-star by the end of the third year.
I was used to it. I was a child prodigy at 13. I was on New York media. You know, I was the number one player each year in high school, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, for 4 years. Myself, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, is the only four-time all-city players in New York history. So I was able to deal with it. When I got drafted with the Nets in New Jersey, in the Metropolitan, I was from New York, I dealt with some of the same media people when I was in high school, you know, in college. So it was kind of easy for me to, pause the media, it was kind of easy to deal with. I knew how to, you know, handle myself, and my high school, taught me, you know, at an early age, and I was getting a lot of attention, how to deal with the media.
You have talked about this before, not only with me, but I'm sure it's going to be in your book that'll be coming out in March, about, again, people reaching out. Sugar Ray Leonard once said to me, I said, Sugar, how hard was it for you to go back into the community that people wanted a little bit of you? They wanted financial help and everything. And he said, Ron, it was very, very difficult, but I had to say no. For you, you had those same type of challenges. How hard was it for you, Kenny?
It wasn't hard. I just said yes all the time. See, this is where, you know, and Sugar made a point. And that's why I try to tell young kids that I'm mentoring and whatever. You got to learn how to say no. I went back to my neighborhood. I gave my time and, you know, my money and just tried to give back to my community because my community, Left Rack City, Queens, meant so much to me. It kind of raised me. It kind of helped me through it. When I was in high school and when I went back after college. So, you know, it was like the village, you know, has to raise one kid, like the village, they raised me. You know, I was from a one-parent home, and everybody in the neighborhood just looked after me and made sure I was doing the right thing.
When you look at some of the people that you grew up with and think about where they are or are not today, do you kind of shake your head a little bit, or what was it like?
Yeah, I shake my head. I say, well, could have been me. Thank God I was always, you know, I had the basketball. That was my motivation. My mother was my motivation. I didn't want to see my mother struggle no more. So when my friends was doing something illegal or wrong, I would be in the gym, you know, with my mentor, Vincent Smith, working on my game. That was my outlet. That was my outlet, basketball. So it just was a blessing. You know, I got 2-3 friends that I grew up with and I hung out with. I think two, three of them is dead. And, you know, one I don't see as much no more. I don't know where he's at. But when I always go back home to see some of my old friends that's still out there, they always, you know, they're proud of me that I didn't let, you know, that I didn't just fall from the wayside, that I didn't, you know, get into crime and drugs and things of that nature. So I was blessed.
One of the great sports exhibitions, I think, is inner-city basketball, and they talk about, at least in New York, some of the legends of the playground, somebody like a Helicopter Herman and Dean Menninger and others like that. Can you put into words what the playground game, the summer game, is really like for kids?
Oh, man, that's a joy for me. I played all over in every borough. I was from Queens. I played in Harlem, Manhattan, Brooklyn, Bronx. It's a joy. It made me who I was in the NBA and in college. You played against every playground was always packed with great competition. You got guys that played on the playgrounds in New York and never made it nowhere, but they were so big in the playgrounds of New York. So it's just tough competition. It gets you ready for whatever level of basketball you plan on playing. You know, just the blacktop of New York. You don't see no better basketball. You know, all the parks is always crowded. So it was just a blessing that I had that type of upbringing, playing in the playgrounds of New York.
I once asked Al Addles why some of the playground legends did not make it in professional basketball, and he said something, Kenny, very interesting to me, and maybe you can explain to the listeners what he was talking about. He said they could not play system basketball, and we know that the legends out there were freewheeling and everything. What was he talking about?
He's talking about structured basketball,
right.
Organized basketball, set plays, listening to details, helping. You know, when you're playing for one goal and have to win a championship or win a national championship in college or a high school championship, it's a team. You're not out there as an individually just running up and down, dribbling and shooting jump shots and just going to the basket. You're out there for a team, and you have to be, you know, you play. Some guys that can play playground basketball don't even know how to remember plays. And then you got defense execution. You got to be certain spots on the floor to help your teammate for the defensive rotation, things of that nature. Just passing the ball at the right time to get your shooter, you know, a good shot. Some of those guys that played in the playground is just not prepared to do those things. They're not able to do it on a consistent basis.
I always thought and think still to this day that the point guard in professional basketball is the most complete player. Now, I say that, and correct me if you think I'm wrong about this, Kenny, but I look at your 10,000 points, 5,000 assists. You have to read the opposing team. You also have to see and sense what your team is doing and where the hot points are. You have to control the tempo of the game. You have to get the ball into the hot person's hands. Yeah. That, to me, is a complete player.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're dealing with personality, especially in the NBA. You're dealing with guys that want to shoot the ball, that want to score, and it's your job to get those guys the ball in great situations. You got your extension on the floor as your coach, your extension, you know, to the team, right? As your coach, you're the coach on the floor, and everything your coach has to trust you to be a point guard. And especially, like I said, in the NBA, you're dealing with all type of personalities. You gotta, you know, you gotta have select hearing. You know, you can't, you know, you select hearing, and you have to not worry about the play. You gotta move on to the next play because guys is always in your ear about, hey, I'm open. You know, give me the ball here. And then you got the coach on your back. Run this play. Run that play. So it takes a strong personality to run the point guard, especially in the NBA level. Now, college level's a little different, but all the same leadership roles as a point guard.
In about 20 seconds, was it hard for you to walk off the court for the last time in the NBA?
No, I lost. My son always asked me, why did I stop at 35? I might have could have got, I worked hard and two, three more years out of it, but I lost passion for playing basketball. I just lost the passion. You know, I played 5 years with the Nets, 5 years with Boston, Celtics, 2.5 with Portland, 1 year with Indiana. And I just got tired of being, you know, getting traded and just dealing with the politics of the game. And I just lost the passion for it. And then my mother passed away in 2005. And I just thank the Lord, thank God that I had that run in the NBA and I was blessed to play for 14 years.
Kenny, I want to thank you very much. I always enjoy our conversation. You're welcome here anytime. And when the book comes out, I want you to come back so we can talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to.
Kenny Anderson with us, point guard for 14 seasons in the NBA. We continue on Sports Byline.